Well, good morning, everybody. We do have much to thank God and praise God for. We have been looking at discovering God in the Psalms. This morning, I want to focus on the care of God, how much, how deeply, extensively God cares for us. The application from that is clear. Immediate response when we reflect on that is to praise God. So we're going to talk about His care for us and talk about praising Him because of that. We're going to be looking at Psalm 103. In Psalm 9 that we sang song before last, I will praise You, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of Your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. That's the theme we're talking about. Telling of God's wonders and singing praises back to Him because of that. So we're going to talk about the God who cares. Psalm 103. I'm going to read this. As I read that, would you all follow along, look for instances, examples, illustrations of God's care for us. David wrote this psalm, he says. Note he's talking to himself. We're going to talk about this in a minute a little more, but he's talking to himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. Its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Would you just pray with me a minute as we get ready to reflect further on His Word? Father, would you give us insight? Give us understanding. We are just dust. We need your help. We rely and depend on you to gain any understanding of who you are and who we are. As we spend a few minutes just reflecting on your word, would you enlighten our hearts and our minds? Give us hearts that want to praise you with all of our hearts because of your deep love, your deep care for us. Amen. So just a couple words of introduction, overview to Psalm 103. It's written by David. It's a soliloquy. It means it's a solo. It's something that he is speaking to himself. Like Hamlet when he starts off saying, to be or not to be? That's the question. It's a soliloquy. He's talking to himself. The audience hears, but nobody else. But this psalm is written by David as a soliloquy just between him and God. And then it was recorded for our benefit. You ever talk to yourself? I think most of us do. That can be good or bad depending on the situation, the circumstances, the content of what you're saying. If you're grumbling about your circumstances when you're talking to yourself, it can lead to anxiety or bitterness. If you're grumbling about your situation or worrying about it, all kinds of negative emotions can come up. Anger and anxiety, all those kinds of things. But there is a time and a place when it's really good to talk to yourself. And that's what David's doing. Some people call this soul talk. You're talking to your own soul, exhorting your own soul to proper thoughts and proper behaviors. And that's what David is doing here. One of my favorites where he does that, Psalm 42, where he says to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so worried? What's your problem, soul? Rejoice in God. Remember who you are and who God is. God will lift you up and restore a healthy countenance to you. So it can be good to be talking to yourself, stirring up your soul to good and proper thoughts. And in this psalm, he's talking about remembering the goodness of God in order that we can praise God. When he talks, starts out here and he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. The wording and the way this is in Hebrew is meant to be really intense. It is a command to himself, and it's meant to be intense. David is saying to himself, get with it, soul. Pay attention to what's going on. Listen to who God is. Praise the Lord with all that's inside you. Praise the Lord. That's not all that he does in this psalm. He's going to give us some pointers, some tips, some things that are helpful for us as we look at how we can reflect on God, His care, and how we can learn how to better, more consistently, more wholeheartedly praise Him. And we're going to look at that in the rest of the psalm here. When we come back, we're going to look at, first of all, for whom God shows His care. So if you're following along in your insert in the bulletin, we're flip-flopping those two. We're going to start out when we come back talking about who God shows His care for, and then we're going to talk about how He shows His care, and then what our response to His care needs to be. So if you all stand up, we're going to give you an opportunity to go back to the back, enjoy each other's company and some refreshments. About 15 minutes, we're going to sing some more songs praising God together. Go ahead and take about 15 minutes. Again, we want to discover the God who cares. We want to look at how deeply, in various ways that we see, experience His care, and learn to respond as we should with praise to Him. So as I said, we're going to flip-flop on what's on the handout there. Look at this briefly here. For whom does God show His care? From Psalm 103. Just take note of a couple of things here. He talks about those who are oppressed in verse 6. God likes to show His love and care, in particular for those who are in distress. He has a special heart for orphans, for widows, for downtrodden, for poor. God has a heart in particular for those people and desires for all of those people to be turning to Him. He talks three different times in these three verses, 11, 13, and 17, about those who fear Him. And the idea, again, it's the idea of understanding who God is, reverence towards Him, that we would turn to Him and experience a relationship with Him. Those who fear Him, people who have come to know Him as He is and entered into a proper relationship of fear, submission, obedience in a healthy way. And He does use the phraseology about obedience, keeping His precepts in verse 18. So the idea is that these are not to be considered blanket promises across the board to everyone. He's talking about people that He has a relationship with. When He's talking about some of the benefits that He bestows, like forgiveness, for example, these are things that are ways He shows His care in particular to those that He has come into a relationship with. So we're going to talk about that a little more. So let's talk about how He shows His care. What are some of the ways that David points out that God shows His care? Remember, verses 1 through 5 are especially clear that David is talking to himself. Okay? When he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not," what? "His benefits." Forget not all His benefits. It's good advice to heed. David is telling himself, don't forget. Remember all of God's benefits. You know, it might be helpful to take a piece of paper and a pencil, jot down some of God's benefits. How have you seen God working in your life? How have you seen Him caring for you? My wife is particularly good at journaling. She keeps handwritten journals of all the ways that she sees God working. You know, there is an old hymn that talks about counting your blessings and naming them one by one. That's a good practice to do. I'm going to add another step to that at the end of our time together that goes beyond counting them and naming them. But David says to his soul, don't forget any of His benefits. He then lists some of the things that he had seen God do in his own personal life. who forgives all your sins. So he's talking to himself. David had experienced God's forgiveness. We can experience God's forgiveness. That is the first step in this relationship that God is talking about. When we turn to Christ, we can receive forgiveness for sin. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We need to reflect more on that. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in this psalm. But He forgives all our sins when we turn to Him. David had experienced that personally. David says He heals all your diseases. David had experienced healing of God. This is not meant as a blanket promise that God heals everybody's diseases all the time if you just have enough faith, if you womp up enough, if you believe hard enough that God's going to heal every disease and everybody all the time. This is David's personal testimony of how he had seen God work. He said, God, I've seen you heal all of my diseases. I'm looking as near as I can tell. It's easier to tell with some than others, but as near as I can tell, you all are alive. That is testimony that, at least up till now, God has healed all your diseases. Isn't that true? That's what David was saying. Up to this point when he wrote this psalm, God had restored his health. He was in good condition at the time. That's what he's talking about. He talks about being redeemed. His life was redeemed from the pit. In Psalm 40, he talks about the same thing. He says, He's brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. God loves to do that when we turn to Him. Get us up out of the muck and the mire that we are living in. Lift us up onto a rock and establish our goings. He's crowned him with love and compassion. The idea with that is that that is foremost, uppermost in David's mind of the goodness of God. Love and compassion is over all. And he satisfies desires with good things. God gives us lots of good things. We can corrupt lots of those good things. But God intends us to use the good things He's given us to give us contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment when we use those things in keeping with the way God designed them. And then He says that when He satisfies us, our youth can be renewed like the eagles. A picture of strength and majesty in the Scriptures. God can renew our strength when He satisfies us, when we're walking closely with Him. So these are some of the things that David is saying in his personal world he had experienced from God. These are some of those benefits that he says we're not to forget. He moves on from then in the next several verses, starting with verse 16, talking about how he's seen God working elsewhere. Starts out with saying he's working righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He's seen that happen with Moses and the nation of Israel. Some of the benefits, God working righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He says in verse 8, then the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. David took that from the passage in Exodus where Moses had received the tablets up on the mountain, and it says the Lord came down in a cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. I am who I am. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh. Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving wrongdoing rebellion and sin. David lifts from that passage out of Exodus and puts it here in Psalm 103 as part of his recounting of God's care for us. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So he gives us a dissertation then, expounding on that idea that God is gracious and compassionate and abounding. Look at some of the ways that he talks about God here. He talks about his mercy. You know, we said before that mercy is not getting what you deserve. And that's exactly what he says here. God will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He's merciful towards us. Nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. It's not a one-for-one, tit-for-tat. You sin, you get judgment. You sin, you get judgment. God shows us mercy when we turn to him. Amazing love. Look at all the different ways love is described here. Verse 8, abounding in love towards us. Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth. If you were here 3-4 weeks ago when we had pictures up here of the universe, unbelievably expansive universe. The nearest star after the sun would take 4 years traveling at the speed of light to get to. That's just one star. Amazing. If you can remember, I should have put it up here again, the picture from the Hubble telescope of all of the thousands and thousands of galaxies beyond the eye. As high as the heavens are above the earth, we can't begin to see how high the heavens are. That's how great his love is for those who fear him. And from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. As high as the heavens are, that's how great his love is. From everlasting to everlasting, that's how long his love will last towards us. How about forgiveness? And we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness to enter into a relationship with him, to become part of his family, to have that promise of eternal life spent with him. And we need forgiveness on a daily basis, a minute by minute basis. This is the way David talks about his forgiveness. As far as God has put the east far away from the west. Yeah, again. How far can you travel east before you'll be in the west? Never happen. You just continue going east. As God has put the east far away from the west, so he has put our sins far away from us. Micah, it says, you will tread our sins underfoot, hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Mariana's Trench in the Pacific Ocean is more than 7 miles deep. As far as the east is from the west, he'll hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Or Isaiah says, it is I who sweep away your transgressions for my own sake. Remember your sins no more. Beautiful pictures of God's forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, he will hurl them into the depths of the sea. He'll sweep them away and remember them no more. He also talks about His compassion as an example, a description of His care for us. It says, as a father has compassion, or like a father has a warm heart toward his children, that's the way God is towards us. We are fragile, we are fleeting, we are frail, but God has compassion on us. Look at this. All these descriptions of what we're like. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He made us. Of course He knows how we are formed. Was it in our own strength, our own abilities? It's all by His hand. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Flourishes like a flower of the field, and then the wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. After a flower disappears from the ground, can you go over there and tell where it had been? The ground doesn't even remember where the flower had been once the wind blows it away. But we're dust, grass, flower, gone, no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. We're like dust in the wind, like dry grass, like flowers that blow away. There's no evidence left on earth that we ever existed. But it's then that God says, My love for you never fails. It never flags, never weakens. He never takes a break. He never takes a nap. Never takes a holiday or a vacation. From everlasting to everlasting, He continues to show Himself to us as the loving, compassionate, merciful, forgiving God. So how do you respond to that? Reflecting on a God who cares for you to that depth, to that extent. That's where praise comes from. In fact, the last part of this psalm, David is calling on all of God's creation to join in praising Him. He finishes recounting all the wonders of God's love and care and says, and heavens, angels, all dominion, everything ought to be praising God because of that. But what really is praise like? I'm going to try to give you a little idea of what I think this scripture is teaching us about praise. Take a look and listen here for a minute.
So one of my favorite athletes would be Michael Jordan. He played basketball. And some of my favorite characteristics about him is that he was kind of, he had a humble confidence about himself. He wasn't athletes today, and he actually took a pay cut to bring some better players for their team, and so that's something that I admire about him as well, that he
Okay, I should have warned you ahead of time that there's going to be a quiz. Did you catch any of the things that were said about Michael Jordan? Humble? Yeah. Remember anything else? Took a pay cut? Yeah. So he wasn't driven by money as much as love for the game. Okay. How about Chick-fil-A? It's really good lemonade. the ice cream's called Ice Dream. I didn't know that. How about Vermeer? How many knew anything about Vermeer before? What did you hear? Did you catch any of the descriptions about Vermeer? About the art? Say it again. He painted. The only self-portrait, which is interesting, is from his back. The colors, yeah. And if you caught, when she was looking at the one painting in the gallery, she said she got as close as she could. She said it was exquisite. She couldn't take her eyes off of it. Right? She was praising the art. They were praising lemonade, ice cream. Praising Michael Jordan. It's recounting, retelling their qualities, virtues, characteristics. That's what praise is. Lest you think these people are all fixated on our world, see if they have any praises for God.
Destroy me. Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me
let's get going here. It's been a pleasure.
We didn't get the credits up there, but Hayden Wilkins, sitting beside Katie there, was the videographer and the editor, so thanks to Hayden for putting that together, and Hayden recording himself, Janet and Jimmy and Megan. What things did you catch about God? What did they say about God? Remember anything? Never changes. I think a couple of people mentioned that. You weren't taking notes. Huh? Mercy. Yep. Faithfulness. Father. Creator. Yeah. So, again, the idea is that we are able to recount, tell back to God the things of Him. A couple other things real quick here. Why should we praise? Does it matter to God if we praise Him? I think the Scriptures indicate at the very least He is pleased. It's pleasing to Him when He hears us praising Him. We ourselves are greatly benefited when we praise God. It reminds us of what God has done. It reminds us, again, who He is, who we are. It reminds us of His ability. It reorients our focus. It gets our eyes and our minds off of ourselves and gets our eyes on Him where they should be. Does it benefit others? If I praise God, does that benefit somebody else? Assuming they hear it. If you hear me praise God, are you helped by that somehow? We should be encouraged when we hear others praising God. Same kind of thing. When I praise God, I'm reminded of who He is. When I praise God before you, you can be reminded of who God is. You should be encouraged by reminders of who He is. It should help each of us to reorient, to get our focus back on God. So it helps us, helps others, and even those who haven't put their faith in Christ. If they hear us praising God, giving God credit and glory for the things going on in our lives, that's one of the things that God uses to draw people to Himself, to show others what He is like. How are we to praise Him? Well, this psalm in Psalm 9 that I looked at earlier says, all that is within me. It should be a deep, felt, heartfelt, sincere, zealous praise for God. Our love for Him ought to erupt in praise for Him. You know, love is not only emotion, but neither is it without emotion. Our love, our appreciation for Him ought to stir our hearts if we care. Do you really care that He cares? Do you care so much that it does cause that to erupt from within, spill over in praises to Him? If we're not at that point, we have a problem with our hearts. And the solution to that problem in our hearts is to do what David did. To exhort our souls, stir ourselves up, and reminders of who God is and what He's done. The back of your little bulletin insert are some questions taken mostly from this psalm that ought to help us to grow in our ability. Have you experienced forgiveness for sin? Consider how amazing that is. Has God healed you of diseases? Are you alive? Someone this morning wanted to dispute whether they were or not. Has God blessed you, friends and family? Has He delivered you out of the pit, redeemed your life, renewed your youth? Have you experienced His love and compassion, the peace and satisfaction, fulfillment? Has He delivered you when you're being oppressed? Those were just things that David talked about. We each have our own story, our own testimony, individually, of how God has worked. Jot down notes. I said I was going to talk about counting your blessings. That's only a first step. Going through these things is a way of counting blessings, writing them down. What are they? But you need to put them into words and share those words with God. Say, God, Your love is amazing. God, You are so compassionate towards me. God, You're so forgiving. I can't understand it. Or you tell others, say, God's love is so deep. God's love lasts from beginning, before beginning of time, to past the end of time. Tell other people these things that you're considering. So I said, praises to God ought to start with something like that. God, You are so whatever. Fill in the blank. And then when you're telling others, God is so what? How would you fill in the blank? So take that home with you. Put this into practice. Learn to praise God more consistently, more deeply, because of His great care for us. I'm going to pray, and the guys are going to come back up and sing a song that talks about God's love. Blessed be God. And reflect on how God has blessed you as we sing that song together. So let me pray as they come up here, and then we will all join in singing together. God, we do come before You and thank You that You are amazing, that Your love, Your forgiveness, Your compassion, Your mercy are beyond our grasp. Pray that You would give us hearts and minds that are captivated by Your love for us, that we would have hearts that spill over and erupt into praise back to You for who You are, and that we would be praising You to others, both our brothers and sisters here and to those who don't yet know You, and that You would heal and encourage our hearts, that You'd be praised and glorified through all of that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just stand while we sing, please.